Have you ever wondered why exactly it is that things usually sound better at home than they do on stage, in auditions, or even in lessons? It's easy to chalk it up to nerves or assume that you just have to practice more or get more performance experience. And sure, those things certainly are part of the puzzle, but a lot of times that's not really the true root cause. If you've been confused by the inconsistency of your performances, I put together a free 4-minute quiz called the Mental Skills Audit, which will help you pinpoint your mental strengths and weaknesses and figure out what exactly to adjust and tweak in your preparation for more consistently optimal performances. You can take the Mental Skills Audit online at bulletproofmusician.com/MSA. That's MSA for Mental Skills Audit. And again, it's 100% free, and it'll take just 4 minutes to get your results emailed to you as a PDF. This is Noah Kageyama, and you're listening to the Bulletproof Musician Podcast. Every Sunday morning, we'll take a look at a new research-based tip or technique to help you practice more effectively or perform better under pressure. And on the first Sunday of every month, I'll have a guest from the music, sport, or research world who will share their insights on how we can all be a little more awesome in the practice room and on stage. From golf to tennis to baseball, diving, basketball, and countless other sports, athletes and coaches have used videotape analysis for years to pinpoint errors, identify areas for improvement, and maximize performance. And while I've heard some musicians speak about the value of videotape analysis, I don't think the use of video is nearly as prevalent as it is in sports, which is totally understandable. I mean, it's only pretty recently that we've had easy access to video recording equipment like we have now in our phones and tablets. And even if you have the equipment, it still takes a good bit of time to not only videotape yourself, but review and analyze the recording afterwards. Plus, there's all that groaning and weeping and teeth gnashing and drowning of sorrows in a pint of Jerry Garcia to do when we hear what we actually sound like. Although technically, that part is optional. All this to say, when you have a ton of things to do and not a lot of time, it's easy to question the value of videotaping. I mean, you do have ears, after all, and probably don't need to play more than a few bars of anything before you hear something that needs some work. But do athletes know something we don't? Like, is there any actual research evidence to suggest that videotaping is worth the time and effort? As I dug into this topic, I actually found a number of studies that were pretty interesting. It was too much to fit into a single post or podcast episode, so I figured I'd make this a 2-part series. So this week, we'll look at what kind of impact videotaping might have on the evaluation of our performances. And next week, we'll look at how videotaping might affect the process of practicing itself. I know it might sound a little dry and boring when I say it like that, but bear with me for a moment. I think you'll find that there are more actionable takeaways than you'd imagine. 2001 study at James Cook University in Australia looked at 35 music majors, including pianists, singers, wind brass players, and guitarists, who participated in a concert practice class, a class in which students gave a graded performance for faculty, kind of like a jury, not just once per year, but twice per semester. The other interesting wrinkle here is that the class experience wasn't just about performing. It was also about self-evaluating and critiquing one's own performance as well, because within a week of their performance, students had to watch the videotape of their playing, quote, as many times as was necessary or appropriate, and also write a 300-word self-critical reflection of the performance covering 6 areas. The guidelines were area number 1, personal presentation, which was their entrance and exit, bowing, physical presence, characteristic mannerisms, and so on. Area number 2 was musical issues, like accuracy, stylistic appropriateness, choice of repertoire. Area number 3 was overall impression, for instance, the personal response and the audience response to their performance. Area number 4 was called reflections on actual performance via viewing the video against perceived performance, in other words, how the performance actually went based on the video versus how they may initially have thought it went based on their own intuitions after the performance. Area number 5 was reflections on progress. This would be improvements and developments since the previous performance. And finally, area number 6, directions, as in plans to improve and enhance performance for the next time. This self-reflection report was then graded by the committee, and students were required to discuss things that came up in the performance and in the report with their teacher as well. The cool part of all this to me is that students' performances only counted for half of their grade. The other half of their grade came from the faculty's evaluation of the student's self-reflection report. In other words, students were not only given opportunities to practice getting better at performing, but opportunities to practice getting better at critiquing themselves accurately and effectively as well. Where the implicit message seems to be that the ability to self-evaluate and critique yourself effectively is as integral to being a musician as being able to play well. So, what happened? Were there any interesting insights that came from having students evaluate their own performances with video? Students were given a questionnaire, which asked them to compare their impressions of the performance video with their impressions of their performance after walking off stage. Though a few students said that what they saw in the video was pretty close to what they remembered feeling as they walked off stage, most actually felt differently after watching the video. For instance, 37% reported that the performance on the video sounded better than what they remembered feeling in the moment, and 49% reported that the video helped them identify issues and problem spots that they otherwise might not have noticed or remembered. For instance, while there were inevitably some comments like, "horrified," and "I thought I looked funny," there were also comments like, "I could see things I didn't know I was doing," and "I was surprised at my tone quality and excited to hear where I could improve." So yes, videotaping might be uncomfortable at first, but this study suggests that some musicians may have a negatively skewed memory of their performances, either perceiving or remembering their performances as being worse than they actually were. The results also suggest that musicians may not be great at performing and evaluating their performances at the same time, and that if we rely only on our memory of our playing, we might be practicing with an awareness of only part of the puzzle, working only on the things we know we're doing, and neglecting the things we don't know that we're doing, or the things we don't know that we're not doing. Okay, but what about the accuracy of students' self-critiques? Like, how did the students' self-evaluations compare to the faculty's evaluations of their playing? Well, that wasn't part of this study, but a more recent study did ask that question. In a 2011 Canadian study, 21 undergraduate and graduate pianists recorded both an official school performance and the dress rehearsal for that performance. Immediately after performing, they completed a quick evaluation of that performance, comparing it to their dress rehearsal run-through in 8 areas, like note accuracy, rhythmic accuracy, expressiveness, and so on. A while later, students watched the video of their performance and evaluated their performance once again based on what they saw and heard in the video. Meanwhile, a professional pianist also evaluated the students' performances using the same 8-question assessment. Then, the researchers compared the students' self-evaluations of their performances from before and after watching the video with that of the professional. And what did they find? Well, when the students evaluated their own performances after watching the performance videos, the scores they gave themselves were pretty darn close to the scores that the professional pianist gave them. But when they evaluated their performance based only on their memory of the performance and gut impressions before watching the video, their self-assessment was not as well aligned with that of the expert. In other words, when students were able to review their concert on video, their evaluation of the performance was much closer to what an impartial, objective expert would say. Without the video, their evaluation was less accurate. The main takeaway from these 2 studies, at least for me, is that even though we may think we know how a performance went, the reality is that it's pretty tough for us to do a truly accurate evaluation of our own playing while we're performing, and that we seem to be much more capable of evaluating our performances when we're watching video of it and can focus 100% of our attention on just listening and observing. Indeed, the artist Sister Corita Kent may have been onto something when she wrote, "Don't try to create and analyze at the same time. They're different processes." So, videotape analysis might be able to help us more accurately evaluate our playing. But does that translate into meaningful changes in learning or performance? Well, that's an excellent question. And next week, we'll take a closer look at a couple studies which provide some answers. But before we wrap up for today, there's one more thing that comes from these studies that might be interesting to think about. I briefly mentioned the 8-part assessment that students used in the 2011 study, and I think it's worth taking a moment to go into a little bit more detail about it, because it's an interesting way to evaluate performances. The authors called it the Quality Assessment in Music Performance Inventory, or QAMPI, or CAMPI, maybe. And if you'd like to take a look at it, you can do so at bulletproofmusician.com/blog. But the 8 categories specifically were memory control, note accuracy, control of tempo, rhythmic accuracy, articulation accuracy, dynamic accuracy, tone quality, and expressiveness. And it's an interesting scale that goes from -3 to +3, where -3 is much worse than in practice, +3 is much better than in practice, and 0 is same as in practice. So I think this is pretty cool in a couple respects. For one, it splits the performance up into multiple categories, like a rubric, to prompt you to listen for specific aspects of your performance. But more importantly, I like that it's not the 1 to 10 scale we might otherwise gravitate towards, where 1 equals mortifying levels of incompetence, humiliation, and shame, and 10 equals idyllic perfection and bliss. Because as important as it is to have an idealized standard of perfection to aim for in the practice room, that standard is always changing and evolving as our playing improves, and like the end of a rainbow, always stays slightly out of reach. Which means that if you only ever use this 1 to 10 scale to evaluate your performances, you're kind of setting yourself up to fail no matter how well you play. This CAMPI scale, on the other hand, simply measures the gap between what you know you're capable of at this moment, i.e. your dress rehearsal, and what you were able to demonstrate on stage in the performance. Which encourages you to compare yourself with yourself, which at the end of the day is really all we can do anyway. As one of my mentors in grad school was fond of saying, you can't play better than you can play. You can find links to this week's study and other resources like practice hacks and the audition cheat sheet at bulletproofmusician.com/blog. And if you found the episode helpful, please share it with a friend or practice buddy who you think might also enjoy experimenting with this during the coming week.